right. Well, praise God.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Let's start with testimonies. Does anybody have an awesome testimony of something God's doing?
Woke up this morning.
Man, we're breathing.
Yeah.
We're alive. We're here.
Good.
We get to come together.
Hello.
That's it. That's it. Actually, one thing I was going to share this morning, I don't know, you know, at the Fort Worth Church, we do bulletins, okay? And something that the Lord put on Pastor Jim's heart here, I guess about a month or so ago, and I don't know if he's shared here or if anybody has shared here about this, but he wanted to put the Apostles' Creed in the bulletin. So I don't know if anybody has...
We've got it?
He printed it out and passed it.
Yeah. So... You know, I've been in and out. I've traveled and stuff like that. And since then, and I don't know what's being shared at the Fort Worth church, but I didn't grow up Catholic or, you know, in any sort of church where they recited the Apostle Creed. But I did want to share that this morning real quick. We're not going to dig in and go through, but I want to share it because I don't know if it's been introduced or shared. It sounds like it has. Someone's written it out, which is awesome. But there's 12 tenets to this thing, and it's going to tie into my testimony and my story today that I want to share and what I feel like the Lord has told me to share just from my week. I had a really, really rough week with year beginning Walmart meetings, so it's been a trial, which is good. You know, looking back on it, it's been really good, but in the midst of it, it was not good. Okay, but the Apostles' Creed, if you guys have it, we can read along here, but like I said, 12 tenets, it says... I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to quit dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And it's funny, you know, when Jim introduced this or shared it with us here, a month and a half or so ago, you know, it showed up in the bulletin. We didn't talk a whole lot about it in detail, just kind of went through it a little bit, but it keeps coming up in different things, and I thought about it this week and something that I want to share you know, from my week. Let's start real quick. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You that You are an awesome, awesome God, and we do thank You for this morning, and we come into Your presence with thanksgiving and joy. Like Dan was saying, we come in, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for troubles and trials. We thank You for blessings. We thank You for everything, because we know that in all things You are there and You're working everything together for our good. And You are an awesome, awesome God. We love You and we praise You. We come this morning expecting to hear from You and to share and to love on each other and to fellowship and worship You, Father. And we do pray for Your word, not Jeff, not people. We want to hear from You, Lord. We want Your pure, awesome word. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your presence, that in Your presence, there's fullness of joy. So we praise You and we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your word, for your scriptures, for Your word that You speak to us, for Your Holy Spirit that You've given us. And we just praise You, Father, for all that You are. We just ask You today for Your anointing, Your word, to penetrate our hearts and to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, as I was kind of praying last night and this morning about what to share, the Lord put on my heart to share my week this week, which was really difficult. I had to travel. I am married. A lot of you guys know Tammy, my wife. It's just that every time I come here, she's not with me. So I don't know if you guys actually believe that I am married. But we've been married 21 years, and it's awesome because I don't look. You know, I learned that from Pastor Jim. I had a great pastor that taught me how to not put expectations on my wife. So I am blessed. I have an awesome wife and four boys, and I think I've shared everybody's, I've shared my testimony here before. What's up, brother? But she is out of town. She's traveling right now. And one of my sons, our kids do speech and debate, and we homeschool, and they're at a tournament this weekend, so they're traveling back today. But she is a blessing. But I wanted to start off with this Apostles' Creed because one of the things, I had five things that I really realized looking back at my, you know, journal and prayers from this week that really spoke to me this week. And one of them is the importance of a solid theological foundation, you know, and really the way, to have a biblical worldview, the way we see the world, you know. And like I said, I'm going to share this meeting that I went to this weekend in Houston, our year beginning meeting for Walmart. I work at Walmart, and it was all the store managers in the nation, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000, I don't know how many, plus all the home office people, the CEO, president of, you know, Walmart Supercenters, which is what the division that I work for. But one of the things that really spoke to me this week, because when I did not want to go, I just, for some reason, I don't know, I don't ever mind traveling. Usually it's not that big a deal. You go, you come back. But I was just really not wanting to go and was really, really discouraged in my job, which is funny because last time I shared here, you know, I shared about, I love my job and I do. You know, I just, you know, we have peaks and valleys.
Sure.
Right? So, man, today I'm loving it, the next day I'm hating it, okay? And it's just that way. And in my the business I'm in this industry, I mean, we have brothers that have done this. I have friends that get terminated from our jobs all the time. You know, it's pretty easy, actually. It's not difficult. So our joy and our hope is not in that. You know, it's in God. God's our provider. You know, I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. I love what I do. But this week was interesting, and part of it was, looking back, there was a big changing of the guard in Walmart. There was a gentleman that is retiring, has been with the company 35 years, was kind of the last, knew Sam Walton personally really well. And he's kind of the last of that generation guys, and I had a ton of respect for this guy. And his last day was at our year beginning meeting. And I'm going to share a little bit about that here in a minute, but, you know, the first thing I wanted to start with, and just kind of tying in the Apostles' Creed, is these 12 tenets. This isn't in the Bible. You know, the Apostles' Creed's not in the Bible, but it's the tenets of everything here. It's a summary of what we believe, right? This is a foundation of what we believe. And just like I was sharing, you know, with you, Dan, yeah, no, you didn't spend the day in prayer and fasting. No, but you have years and years of word and prayer and fastings and, you know, trials and stuff that has prepared you for life, and the way you live your life now is built on a foundation, a solid foundation that we've received from awesome teaching, good theology. And I realized this week, you know, the first day I got to Houston, like I said, for some reason, I was just in turmoil. You know, I'm calling Dave Borchert, one of my buddies. I called Tim. You know, I'm reaching out to people. I called Dave Cooper, my wife. I called her, you know, I said five times. She's like, no, it's nine times. So I was like, thanks, honey. It's good talking to you. But everybody went out when we first got to Houston. Everybody went to eat, and this group's going here. Hey, where's everybody going? And I just didn't want to go anywhere. I was just so much in turmoil because I'd already looked at my budgets. I had all kind of troubles and problems going on at my store. And my wife was going to be traveling. The boys, we had stuff going on there. We're trying to line out. So I just needed to be with God. I don't know if y'all ever get to that place where you're just like, man, I just need to be by myself. So I am thankful for brothers and sisters in the Lord, and even this time, and to see each one of you guys in this fellowship is important. So that's one of the five things I wanted to share, is just the importance of each other, you know, and to be here and to see you guys, and to, you know, even if we don't know each other that well, I'll tell you, I feel like I know you very well, especially at this church, because we have a fellowship and a unity in the Word and in God. So it's really, really important. You know, I was calling, you know, I was kind of whining to Dave B, just kind of griping, actually. It was wrong. So I had to tell him I'm sorry. But it was good to have brothers that you can be real with and, you know, honest, and then they can speak the truth to you. Hey, man, it ain't that big a deal, you know. But, you know, a biblical worldview is based on the infallible Word of God. You know, and that lens that we look at this world through is formed, and, you know, we don't even realize the amount of, you know, teaching and good teaching that we have in the Word that helps us to see this world in the right way. Okay, so the whole theme for this meeting, which is partly why maybe I wasn't excited, is climbing the summit. And the you know, probably a normal, you know, corporate America message about stepping it up and being better and doing better. It's kind of the opposite of what it is in being a Christian, because it's more the way up is the way down. You know, as far as, at least in my life, maybe you guys have a different testimony, but the message was climbing the summit, and that was the theme, and it was all about stepping it up and being stronger and being more than what we are. Okay, and like I said, to have that, I've been in many organizations and groups, and I was at the core at A&M, and you know, just it was man at its best. Okay, and man at his best is vanity, the vanity of vanities. You know, and so I knew what this theme was. This theme was introduced here a while back, and I know this is, it literally looked like Mount Everest to me, and that was the message, is this is going to be a really difficult year, you know. And the new management that's in this company is hard nose, and that's not the word that most Walmart people use. They use a different word after hard, okay, and this guy that's a new has kind of taken the reins, it's going to be interesting. So, you know, Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God," right? What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
So I think I shared here last time or the time before, one of the very first verses that the Lord spoke to me was, "Let God be true and every man a liar." You know, and the way I heard that was myself. I knew I was a liar. You know, and I probably shared with you guys, I was in College Station, Texas. The Lord spoke to me, revealed himself to me, said Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And, you know, it was within probably a week or two, I had read that verse about let God be true and every man a liar, right? So I know that whatever this word says is the truth. Okay, so if I'm discouraged, if I'm distressed, and I come into this year beginning meeting, you know, I need to get into his presence, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Okay, and I needed that. I needed the peace. I needed the comfort. I needed to know God's in control of this. Okay, and he spoke some stuff that was really powerful to me that night, the first night before we started these meetings, that I really, really needed. So, you know, apart from the message that the world gives and your job gives about being better, doing better, stepping it up and all this kind of stuff, I tell you what, if you haven't learned it, but apart from him, we can do nothing. So if you don't have a good understanding of the Word and of God and knowing how awesome he is and that he does everything for us, that could be a discouraging message to climb Mount Everest. So I know there was thousands of people that left there just like, oh man, you know. So I didn't. I did not leave that way. I left excited because we have an awesome God. But the, you know, one of the things, you know, I said I had five things to really share that I got from this meeting, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added. You know, in his presence there is fullness of joy. You know, if you're trying to do this life apart from him, even trying to find your backpack, you know, I mean, the small little things, there's points, I mean, I know there's, it's little, but in that time, Dan needed his backpack. He needed his stuff, right? So, had kind of, one of the, you know, I shared a minute ago, this guy that retired from Walmart, and I brought this story up because it's personal, and it had a situation here about 6 weeks ago. It's the president of Walmart. His name's Mike Moore. Awesome guy. I've looked up to him. Real humble guy. And about 6-7 weeks ago, there was, well, it was before then, it was probably 10 weeks ago, there was emails, and everybody was calling, hey, Mike Moore's going to be in Texas. Here's the stores that he's going to be at. There were some in Austin, one in San Antonio, and there were two in Dallas. So I had been going to those stores. You know, my market manager said, hey, we need you to go to this store. We got to help prep it for, you know, to spend a couple weeks there, and then about 3 or 4 days at another store. So we kind of know where he's going to be. Well, about 7 weeks ago, I'm in my store, I'm in the back corner of the store, and I get a phone call, and it's the guy that's up at the front of my store, and he's like, Jeff, I need you to come to the front right now. So I go up there, I turn the corner, there's Mike Moore, standing in produce. And I mean, my heart like sank, okay? Because in my industry, in this business, you get weeks to prepare for this kind of a visit, right? And I was like, Mr. Moore, how are you? And he was laughing. And I asked him, I said, are you guys lost? He said, we actually are lost. So, you know, and you got to keep in mind the stores he was going to. We'd spent weeks at these stores prepping and preparing these stores for this. He walks into mine, we have no prep at all. So, you know, and I'm always telling my team, prepare, stay prepared. Because, you know, you always got to be ready. It's about the customer and it's about this and that. And I'm sharing this story because there's so much spiritual application to this, at least for me, from my perspective, that I really gleaned and learned from this. And we'd already known that he was retiring, so we got to talking about that, and he spent 45 minutes with me walking our store. It was a great visit. He remembered me from, I was at a really crazy, like the busiest store in Texas store before this one, and I'd met him there. And he was like, yeah, I remember you from Cocker Hill. And man, if you can run that store, the store's nothing. You know, so we talked a lot, and it was a good visit. But one story that he shared that I wanted to share with you guys, and I had brought the story up because I'd heard about it. And he took him in. He stopped the whole tour. There's a whole entourage with him, and my whole store management team's with me. And he shared a story about one year when Sam Walton had flown his little Cessna into Missouri. He was a store manager in Missouri. And Sam hitchhiked to his store because he flew his little plane there and he didn't have a ride. So he hitchhiked to the store and he comes and he pops in on Mike Moore and about just like my visit. And he spends, you know, good 3 or 4 hours with Mike. And then he says, hey, let's go look at some competitors. Let's go to Kmart and some of these other stores. So Mike's, all of a sudden, he's in fear. He's like, oh my gosh. Because he had just remembered the day before he had gone fishing with one of his buddies. And they had got a six-pack of beer. And there's empty beer cans in the floorboard of his truck. And he's thinking, oh man, this is not good. He's thinking this, right? And Sam, he knew Sam had hitchhiked to his store, so he's got to drive. So he's thinking, oh gosh. So they're going out to the car. And Sam gets in one side, and Mike gets in the other, and there's no beer cans in the floorboard. So he's thinking, oh gosh, they rolled under the seat, right? So the whole way to Kmart, he's just barely touching his brakes because he doesn't want them to all run through the front of the deal, right? So he almost rear-ends several cars on the way there because he didn't want to hit the brakes. So he gets to Kmart. They go around the store. He drops Sam off back at the airport, and he gets back to the store. And they're all recapping all the management team. And, you know, the first thing when Mike gets back to the store, he looks under the seat because he's like, where did those go? And they're gone. And, you know, he's like, well, what happened? Those were there, you know. And he gets back to the store and they're recapping the visit. And, you know, one of his assistant managers said, man, I heard him say that y'all were going to go visit. And I knew that he had gotten a ride there. So he went out and cleaned his car out for him. I've heard Mike Moore tell this story twice, and it impacted him. This is when he was like 23 years old, okay? And like I said, this guy, as far as my business and Walmart, I love this guy. He's a family guy. He's real down to earth. He's real humble. Just a real interesting guy. And I have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, his message with this story was how important it is to have people around you that take care of you and support you. Okay, and he talks about it in a management perspective. But, you know, we have a God that is so awesome. And we have an advocate that covers our sins, that loves us, and removes our sins. You know, it's better than an assistant manager that takes care of you in normal day, or your assistants that help you at work, or, you know, we have a Jesus that is awesome. And that, you know, and it's in 1 John 2:1, I wrote this verse down because it's really powerful. It says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and for our not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, that story that Mike shared, you know, I've thought about it a lot this week, because at this year beginning meeting was his last day with the company, and they transferred to another guy. Okay. And I feel like there's definitely a lot of people are making comments, and, you know, he brought a different feel and vibe to the company. And a lot of it with him was he was a family guy, and I always respected that with him. So anyways, that story really spoke to me just how important it is to have people around you, brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's why I love this time together, and even, you know, the close friends that you guys all have, and brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can call up any time of day. You know, to have those people on our sides is powerful. So I want to read Psalm 107 this morning. You know, the thing that the Lord spoke to me before this meeting started this week, when I was kind of I'd gotten down to Houston, I was kind of in distress about this meeting, and you know, the Lord told me, I already ascended the mountain. Jesus already has ascended, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and we are in him. Okay, so anything that the Lord calls us to do, he has given us the Holy Spirit, and he provides for us. It's almost scandalous, I want to say, because he does it for us. He's in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we don't have to stress. We don't have to worry, you know, all this anxiety. You know, Dan, you were talking about, you know, living our lives with stress and anxiety. And, you know, my wife, she, you know, we homeschool. But I tell you what, I was with Liam, my 7-year-old, while they were at a tournament about 2 weeks ago, and I had about 3 or 4 days of time off, and I spent it with my 7-year-old. I was wore out by those 4 days. You know, and that's one kiddo. My wife does this day in and day out, you know, and you kind of think, well, I used to think as a young married man, you know, my wife, I will never say this anymore, my wife doesn't work. Don't say that, okay? She works all the time. She stays at home, but it's a lot of work. But God is gracious and provides for whatever it is that we're called to do, right? So we're going to read out of Psalms 107. So it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in." This message that I'm sharing, I don't think I'm going to get it across the way that these verses were hitting me this week. It was a really lonely, dry week, you know, as far as just being in work. You know, I wasn't feeling, you know, Dan, you were talking about feelings, and, you know, sometimes we're not, you know, feeling God's presence and stuff like that. It was a faith walk. You know, it was very solitary, very lonely. So when we read these words, you know, I know, you know, I don't know if this was David wrote Psalm 107, but it was coming from somewhere, and we can relate to this. So the Psalms are really powerful. So it says, "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." It's powerful. "And he led them forth by the right way, and that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses." I think it's funny. It's like our life. We're constantly in trouble, then we get delivered. We're in trouble, we get delivered. You know, I don't know if you have y'all seen Forged in the Fire? There's a show that my boys have got me on, this show called Forged in the Fire. And I mean, Liam, my 7-year-old, my twins that are 20, we all got into this during December and we'd record all these episodes. But it's a reality show. It's four blacksmiths and they're competing. There's judges, there's like four judges, and they're judging these four blacksmiths. They give them like a pile of junk, iron and steel. Usually it's some sort of decent steel, and then there's like other junk steel, and they gotta, you know, they have to forge this stuff, melt it down, and then they're making some sort of sword, knife, and they give them some specs. It's gotta be, say, like 22 to 26 inches, something like this. And so it goes into the fire, and Liam and I were watching this last night, and it was funny, it was interesting, because the guy that won, he was like probably 70-ish, but the judges, he was going so slow. And the judges were like, man, what's Carl doing? You know, he's just barely, you know, because he would go to the forge and he kept sticking it in the fire. And then you come back and you're pounding. Man, there's a whole message in Forged in the Fire. There is a message in that show, I'm telling you, okay? So this guy, I don't remember his name, I think it was Carl, but he was going so slow and the judges were coming. They're like, man, is he going to make it? Okay. But it ended up, once you forge this metal and it's melted down and you're pounding and you've got kind of the foundation for the blade that you're making, whether it's a sword or whatever, then you quench it and it goes in oil. Okay. And it's, once you quench it, you're done. It's, you know, so if it has a warp, if it has cracks, if it has imperfections, if it wasn't in there long enough, if you didn't melt it down long enough or pound it hard enough, it's not going to come out right. You know, and there were three other whippersnappers that he was competing against, this older guy. And I was just thinking how awesome God is. He is our potter. We are the clay. He is making us who he's created us to be. And you talk about one word that kept coming up this week was precision. Okay, and our Walmart stuff and everything we're doing, everything has to be precise. It's got to be done this way and that way. And man, you talk about, again, the Apostles' Creed, you know, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You talk about precision. The earth has to be exact amount distance from the sun. It can't be too far or we'll freeze. It can't be too close or we'll burn up. You know, the stars and everything, the way it is, this universe is wound up. I don't know if anybody's seen, Lou Giglio has a teaching called Indescribable, or it's just an awesome, awesome, that song. There's a Christian song about it, but he has a whole video. If you guys have kids or grandkids or just you want to watch it, it's powerful. Just about how awesome God is and how he's created the heavens and earth. You know, and you see pictures of, you know, and it gets more and more, we get more insight, you know, every year as to how big God is, you know, because they used to think, well, there's however many galaxies. Now there's just, it's just unbelievable how big everything is. Okay. And you can see pictures of a galaxy and you see Earth, like it's right here and there's just billions of stars all around it. You know, it doesn't, the whole thing doesn't revolve around Earth. You know, it's just, it's out there, you know, and you think how big he is, but yet he knows how many hairs you have on your head. You know, how can he be that big and yet know every little bitty detail of our life as far as where to find something? You know, Tammy's mom's real big on that. Jill, she's real funny. If she's missing something, you know, Lord, you know where these keys are. You know, and she always has a testimony about how God told her where the keys were. Okay? It's good. It's actually good. You know, she asks him for everything. But this Forge in the Fire, it was a good show. It was funny. But that guy, Carl, the one that kept his forge in the fire longer, though, the last finishing touches came together like that. So he ended up winning. They do a round one, and then this guy's knocked out, his blade, the tip broke off because he didn't heat it long enough. Then another guy had imperfections because he didn't heat it. He heated his too long. You know, so there's just the right, you know, way to do these blades for these, you know, I think they call them bladesmiths, but it's basically, it was interesting. It's a good show, but there's, like I said, there's probably a whole teaching in that thing about just how good God is and how he is our one that creates us and makes us who he's created us to be. So anyways, so in Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Thanksgiving, you know, Psalm 100, you don't have to turn there, but it's really short. You know, it starts off, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with griping. No. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It's powerful. It says in the end times, I don't know where that verse is, but that we'll be a people of unthankful. We'll be an unthankful people. We have a lot to be thankful for, you know. Brother was saying today, we're breathing, we're here, we're alive. I'm glad to be here. You know, we can speak the words, speak the scriptures, hear them, and get built up, build each other up. You know, I kind of shared a heavy word last time about the end times and just the sense of urgency that, you know, we're in these days, that we're in the last days. It says it in the Bible. For one thing, it says in these last days. I mean, it's talking about history, but I don't know if you guys feel it or see it. We're there. We are right there. You know, so that was part of what I think was going on this week with me, was just a recognition that this world is just fleeting. You know, Walmart's not where it's at, okay? It's good. I love it, and I'm blessed, and I do love my job. And God, that's where I'm at, and that's, you know, I believe in flourishing where you are. So if I'm to do something else, God will open a new door and something else, and that could happen tomorrow, you know? But, you know, there's, I don't know if you guys have read that story. There's a story about David's people in the cave of Adullam and what... Okay, and they were distressed, they were in debt, they had all kind of problems, man. You know, and yet that was the people that God was using. That was David's people. Those were his people. You know, one of the things I share a lot, I love working at Walmart. You know, I love the people that work there with me. Very down to earth and just not flashy. Most of them don't have big egos or anything like that. They're just down to earth. So I enjoy that. I like that. I feel like I'm at home there as far as, you know, we're just not great. You know, it's pretty amazing for a company that's that big and extraordinary, and it's made up of nothing but complete ordinary people. It's a powerful thing. So anyways, okay, so we're in verse 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. I don't know if you guys have ever been on the deep sea in a small boat. I have. I get really sick. And the swells can be as high as the ceiling, and it's that, and it's freaky, especially when you don't see land and you're thinking, this is, people do this, you know, and the captain's just sitting there, you know, enjoying himself, and I'm thinking, this is horrible. And we were in good boats, you know, these boats back then were wood and probably had, you know, barely hanging together sometimes. So it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffers not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. I don't know about you guys. You know, I know there's a lot of teaching out there about healing and, you know, I don't want to call it the grace message because I love the grace message. It's powerful. I believe in the grace message. You know, some of the tenets that are new out there about not believing in hell and some of this kind of stuff, I'm not on board with that. If it says it in the scriptures, it's real to me, and that's the truth. But I will say personally, I have grown a lot during times of suffering. I'll say that, you know, but I also believe in the supernatural healing of God. I believe in His power and His mercy and His grace in overcoming situations and problems. We pray, right? We hear from the Lord, what do we do in this situation? Jesus, you know, you can't cookie cutter it. He said, I do what my Father says, right? So, you know, that picture at the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus going to heal somebody and walking past two or three people to go heal this guy, because that's who the Father told him to heal. You know, we have a word. We can pray for anybody. We can lay hands on, you know, and we can pray for healing. We don't necessarily need to have a specific word for that because God already told us to do that. But, you know, I'm just saying God turns everything together for our good. If there's a suffering, we pray for deliverance, you know, then God's faithful and He will deliver us. You know, and that's what this whole scripture's about. How many, they're in trouble, then they're in distress, then He delivers them. They're in distress, He delivers them. They're in distress, He delivers them. He's in distress and He delivers them. That's our testimony. You know, life isn't just roses. So it's good to know, to go to the foundation, the rock that is immovable, the foundation that cannot be moved. That's what we're blessed and thankful and here, you know, even testifying this morning that we have a rock in Jesus that we can stand on and trust in. So it says in verse 40, it says, He pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet sets He the poor on high from affliction and makes him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, Pastor Jim said many years ago, and it's stuck with me, how important it is to know the love of God. It's the foundation of everything. If we know that God loves us, we can trust Him in all things. You know, this week I'd heard a song by a gal, I want to share some of the lyrics with this. It was so powerful. I copied them and let's see. Okay, it says, letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I try to win this war, I confess, my hands are weary. I need your rest, mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So let all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I don't know if y'all have heard that song, but what a powerful, powerful song. You know, what a message. You know, and it's that when you're in distress, you know, God doesn't have a clock like we do. You know, I don't know if y'all heard Dave Borchardt's testimony of their precious little baby they just had, but 16 years of praying and, you know, how many house churches we had where, all right, we're going to pray for Mary and, you know, just the, all the elements that go into that suffering and that trial. You know, I don't know if y'all know Dave and Mary Borchardt, but Jim's son and daughter couldn't get pregnant for 16 years. And then the testimony and the story is powerful. It's on some sort of internet or something out there. I'm not real savvy on all that stuff, but there, it's somewhere online. But very, very powerful testimony, you know. And I believe, and God didn't see 16 years, you know, for Dave and Mary. That was a trial and a suffering, and the amount of, you know, time they were in that fire. It's like that blacksmith I was talking about, that you're in the fire and you're thinking, God, it's 16 years, you know. But God constantly would encourage Dave and Mary through that time, even to the point where they completely despaired, and then God would be there, and then completely distressed and despair, and then God would be there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a suffering, there's a trial, there's going through the fire that's good and healthy. I can say for myself, can't speak for everybody, but I know that it's good. You know, it's a good thing to go through trials and troubles, but it's also good to have that firm foundation. And to know where to go and where to turn. You know, God says He never leaves us or forsakes us. He doesn't leave. He's not going anywhere. Sometimes we feel it. Sometimes we don't. We don't go off that. We go off the Word. We have a sure word, a more sure word of prophecy in the Word. You know, even, I don't know if y'all have read that verse in Peter. I don't know where it is, but where they're talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, Jesus revealed Himself in all this glory before the disciples. And it goes on, the next verse says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy in the Word. We have more surety in this Word than if Jesus were to come and be in all His glory and splendor glowing right in front of us. We have a more sure word right here. You know, I think as new believers, you know, I know I did. My parents have a pool. This is embarrassing. But when I was a new believer, I'm thinking, man, I can walk on water. You know, you want to see God's hand. You want to see Him reveal Himself. I know Jim has told a story about how he remembers driving down 820. And he was like, God, if just real quick, if you just stick your finger down out of the clouds real quick, you know, I'll just believe you. I'll believe everything. You know, I'll know that you're real. Right? He never saw that hand. He never saw, God never did that. We have a more sure word in this Bible. You know, because had he seen that hand, I guarantee he'd be thinking, did I really see that? Was that? I think I was hallucinating. We'd question that, right? But we have a sure word of prophecy and truth and mercy in this Word and in this Bible. So, you know, last verse I want to kind of share. You know, that last verse in 107 was talking about just knowing and understanding God's love. And one of my favorite verses over in Romans 8, 31, it says, let's see, if you go down to 8:34, it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Sounds like some bad stuff. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is awesome. God is awesome. He is so good. He is full of mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. He's good. So, Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we'll take these verses, these words that You've spoken to us that are as live and as real as when You revealed them to the writer, Lord. They speak to us today of Your truth and Your mercy and Your love that never, never forsakes us. You never leave us and You never forsake us. So we thank You, Lord, that wherever we're at, that You meet us wherever we're at. Whether we're in distress or blessings, whatever it is, wherever we're at, Lord, we thank You that Your presence and Your truth and Your mercy never leave us, never forsake us, and as we need it. In these days, all the days, always throughout time, we've needed You. But we definitely, in this room, in this church, in this body, and definitely in me, I need You. We need you. We thank you that you are so excited to be with us. Every day you're just open arms receiving us. And God, we thank you that you see us through Jesus. You look at us and you see perfection. You're not condemning us. We condemn ourselves. Satan's out there to condemn us. He's waiting to condemn us. He's excited about condemning us. Well, Lord, we don't buy that. We don't believe that. We believe your word is true. And Satan's a liar. He's right there to condemn us, but we thank you, Lord, you're right there to receive us and to love us and to build us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being everything that we need. You meet all of our needs. Our needs aren't met in each other and other people. We're so thankful for brothers and sisters and spouses and parents and children. We're thankful for everything, but we thank you, Lord, that you are our everything. You are all that we need. So we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Pray blessings for this body today and this week as we go forward, that we would go forward loving. We would go forward in truth and in mercy, loving people and speaking the truth in love. So we love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.